This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience, and today I have the great privilege of having a business partner of mine on the show. Darren will get into his backstory, but this will be really fun for the intellectual property collectible. Just to give everyone the preview, like, you know, when I went on this Be Friends journey, there was a lot of things I wanted to do strategically. A lot of them was around toys and tchotchkes and things of that nature. And, you know, fate created a scenario where we got to meet and I became an investor in Darren's company. And it's been a really fun journey. Toy Keto is a major, major part of the Be Friends journey, which we'll get into. But what I really wanted Darren on the show, and why I asked him, I obviously have thousands of investments and different individuals that could be on the show, but I tend not to do that too often unless I feel like it actually brings value to the audience. And I feel like so many of you are on your journeys of being happy in life, which I find Darren to be one of the individuals I've come across in my career that is as passionate about the thing he does as I am about what I do, which I think is incredibly important. Excuse me. Number two, I think that a lot of you are getting more and more interested in IP development and things of that nature, and I think there's a lot to talk about here, and toys and collectibles and characters and journeys and having fun. And so, how are you, mate?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Take the floor for 2-3 minutes and give us the kind of comic book number one origin story.
No worries. So I've been in IP, family IP, for 20 years. So I started here in New York working for 4Kids Entertainment on Pokemon with Al Kahn back in the day, and then ran different...
How did that happen?
What a good question.
How did you get that job? And what did you do exactly? Because I think the reason I'm jumping in is, of course I want to get to your story, but I'm obsessed with everyone who's listening on the other end, and I'm trying to think about the 25-year-old, 24-year-old right now that's gotten affected by NFTs or comics or sports cards and actually wants to do this. Too many of them try to do their own project, fail, and then take a settled job where what they don't realize is their biggest opportunity is to join something, learn, and then eventually get to their own thing. So I'm curious of your story, how you got to that Pokemon job. And was Pokemon, what did you say, 21 years? So so Pokemon had already gotten going at that point.
I mean, Al had bought it out of Japan. So I joined his London office. So I got the job. I mean, it was by default of having to pay the rent. So I was working at Tesco's, the store in London, working nights, stacking frozen food.
Yep, that's the Walmart of the UK for everybody, Europe, who everybody's listening. So you're working in retail.
Working in retail.
Stocking shelves.
Frozen peas.
I mean, this is even, you know, I couldn't imagine a better setup for what I'm trying to accomplish here. So keep going. So you're stocking shelves in retail stores, peas, no different than what I was doing at 24.
Yeah, and then I saw a job application that was looking for a merchandiser for Pokemon.
Right, and you thought, and because you were in retail, you understood at least what that potentially meant.
Yeah.
And so you basically said, I'd rather be stocking stores with Pokemon figures and cards than peas.
I'd done a degree which included some accounting. So long story short, I mean, I joined the accounting department. I didn't want to be an accountant, like, at all. And I had a great boss there. And after about 6 months, he said, listen, you've got two choices here. I'll invest in you to go and do all of your accounting degrees, or you can join my sales team, because we really enjoy having you in those meetings.
Because your energy was infectious?
Yeah. I mean, I went in there as the accounting guy, but ended up pitching the brand. So so he gave me effectively what was the Duff job in that space, which was managing what they called Central Eastern Europe. So I was...
Real quick, because you have different slang on the other side of the pond. Duff was bad?
Duff was bad,
Got it.
It was basically the markets that nobody wanted.
Right, nobody wanted to go to Poland.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I traveled Poland, Czech, Russia, Ukraine, Slovenia, Slovakia. I mean,
and all of this
beautiful
was,
places.
Right, which were also, you know, obviously there's a lot going on in those parts of the world right now, but at what year was this? 2000?
This would be 2000, 2001.
Right, so this is, you know, the Berlin Wall, you know, is only like a decade from falling. These countries are still kind of getting their footing
Correct.
In a post-communism era,
yeah,
and are going towards capitalism and democracy. And there was a lot of shady shit and a lot of exciting shit. It must have been a wild, wild west market.
It was brilliant. I mean, I can give you...
You must have learned a ton.
I learned a ton, yeah.
Did you almost get killed?
I've got shady... Yeah, I've got some conversations that I could give you. I don't know if you want to do them here.
No, I think I'd want at least one. I mean, just to paint a picture, right? Like, obviously, I'm from that part of the world, and I was paying very close attention to people who were doing business there. And, of course, my parents leaving that world were like, you don't do business in that part of the world. But I was always super curious and, like... You know, there was a lot of mafia, a lot of that influence. In America, it's like, you got to do a deal. It's a corporate thing, right? Yeah. You're dealing with corporate bullshit. In that part of the world, you think you're trying to get your Pokemon toy into 50 local stores in the Eastern Bloc, and you think you're talking to Igor, but what's really happening is somebody else controls it, and if you get a little too cute and bump out a Disney product, you might have a problem.
I'll give you a great example.
Tell me. So watch this, Andy. So you think you have it tough? This is easy out here now. Listen to what Darren's about to drop on you.
I was in Bulgaria, and my partner at that time, who was looking to be my partner, I got in the car, and he says, you're going to have to get in the back. Because in the front of the car were all these lights and flashing and gadgets. And I said, what are they? And he said, well, that one tells me where the police are, and this one tells them where I am, because my business partner was blown up last week. Now I'm sat in the back of this car.
Shitting your pants.
Absolutely, yeah. Because no one knew where I was. They just knew I was in Bulgaria.
Right.
They didn't know where I was in Bulgaria. But yeah, he was turning legit. He had a property business. He wanted to get into toys. He saw the distribution opportunity in a country that had no real regulation of toy at that time. And actually, he went on to crush it. He was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
See, Andy? You don't realize how good you have it. Dust, when you jump back in the car with the camera, you're thinking about catching the right shot, not getting shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understood. So keep going. So you get this Pokemon gig.
So I get the Pokemon
gig. You sneak in through accounting. People see your enthusiasm. You know the brand.
Yep.
And now you're in the Eastern Bloc trying to make stuff. Like, you're trying to, in essence, get people to carry the product?
Yeah, we're selling the TV show onto...
Okay, so it was 360. It wasn't just product. You're trying to get distribution for the IP as well.
Correct.
But so you were doing both or just that?
No, there was a great team selling the animation in, but sometimes they couldn't sell it in. So then it was up to me of how do we get the show in without the broadcaster taking it.
Got it. So was that being alternative distribution or was that getting people to buy the stuff, showing them there was demand and then getting leverage?
I'm going to show my age here. So we also had Ninja Turtles in the portfolio at that time as well.
Yes.
Before it went on to be sold to Nickelodeon.
Yes.
In the Czech Republic, we got Ninja Turtles. They couldn't take it on air. They wouldn't take it. So we packaged the toys with a CD, with a disc.
Right, so...
One episode per toy.
Right, so kind of like Andy and I are thinking a lot, like, for example, you know this, because you're our partner, we're thinking about toys with QR codes so people watch the cartoons. That was inspired in a lot of ways by what I saw as a kid with He-Man. My friend Robbie Turnick, big shout out Robbie, bought He-Man toys before they were cartoons, and the way we cared about Skeletor and He-Man was there was little comic books. Later, when I watched the Netflix show of toys of our childhood, they explained that the reason they had that there was the animation wasn't ready yet, but the toys were ready, and they were going into Toys R Us, and so they're like, fuck, we gotta add a comic book because kids aren't gonna give a shit if there's no story.
Yeah.
You did the same thing. Turtles are not on TV, so to get kids to care, you had bulky toys with a big VHS tape so that people could watch the VHS tape, fall in love with the turtles, and then create the circle.
And then it went on air the following year.
Of course, because now you created the hype. Yeah.
Created the demand. It's a wild experience to work on.
So that's really where you cut your teeth and learned the game.
That's where I cut my teeth.
And how long were you there?
6 years.
And then what happened?
And then I went on to run a licensing agency. So we took on third-party IP. So we represented 20th Century Fox, we represented Sony, we represented Hit Entertainment.
And what were your jobs? You would get this IP and your job was to?
To find partners to manufacture against that IP, to license it out.
Right, licensing.
Correct.
That could mean, give me an example of one of the, you're naming the companies that owned it. For everybody listening at home, in that business, all these 20th Century Fox, give me like a for instance, we represented.
So we represented The Simpsons.
Good, let's stop right there.
Yeah.
The Simpsons, and you were doing this for what region?
I was doing it for the Scandinavia, and I'm still in Central Eastern Europe at this point.
Right, so you joined this agency where for Scandinavia and the Europe thing, so kind of like the Eastern Europe / Scandinavia thing,
right.
And you now have Simpsons, and it is your job, for example, for everybody who's old enough to remember these, most people don't do this anymore. These have been some of my favorite licensing deals. Car fresheners, right?
Yep.
People used to put those in their cars, which I'm sure they still do, but I'm not paying attention. You would say, for instance, let me go find a car freshener partner and they'll pay me to put a Bart Simpson car freshener instead of a pine cone, right?
Correct.
Or yeah, toys, yeah. Or hats, or cereal, or anything.
Absolutely spot on.
Give me the funniest one you can think of that you put together during that era just to get people's juices going.
Oh, wow, okay.
Pay attention.
It's going to be...
Because I see you going through your work, but you may have to do, like, one of these soon.
You know, Andy, I'm going to take you back to Russia, if that's okay.
I take Andy back to Russia every fucking day in a meeting.
So Ice Age.
Ice Age. The Mammoth, right, in the little thing, yep.
20th Century Fox, huge. In Russia, a huge brand.
Right, so it's cold there. They're like, I like the cold thing. It makes sense.
So okay. I did, and this will be another good, so I did a direct-to-retail.
Direct-to-retail.
So this is now going into the biggest retailer in Russia.
Which was called?
It was called X5.
X5?
X5.
The fuck are they using Western names for? Okay, go ahead. I was getting excited to show my Russian knowledge. Give me X5. Okay, X5.
So X5, and then
Wait a minute, Vayner X5? Andy, you...
He's working.
He is working, which I appreciate. I guess you could listen to this later. Go ahead.
So we did a deal with X5, and they came to us with, I think, 50 products that they wanted to put the Ice Age brand onto.
Meaning their exclusives?
Correct.
Right.
This is
they have scale.
This is their manufacturing.
Right. And
then I had to go back to 20th Century Fox and say, these guys in Russia want to put Scrat, I think was the name of on their toilet paper in every store in Russia.
And they said?
And they, yeah, I think we did it. I mean, you...
the Russians can wipe their asses with our character. Fair enough. I get it. How long did you do that?
So I did that for 4.5 years.
And then, for everybody's listening, be like, what's going on? What's going on is what always going on. Unlike all your other favorite podcasters who do this for a living and spend all fucking week prepping for one interview that they do for 4 hours and cut down to 33 minutes, I have 17 more fucking meetings after this. So I'm trying to get some shit in. I apologize. Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, so next I joined a startup. Because I love...
You'd done the corporate thing at that point?
Yeah, we'll come on to that. But I joined a startup called Mind Candy.
Okay.
So they had a brand called Moshi Monsters.
Yep.
And I joined to do everything commercial for them.
That's fun.
Away from the game itself.
Yes.
So in the world at that time, for web games, there were two.
I remember.
Moshi Monsters and Club Penguin.
Yep.
Yeah, and Disney bought Club Penguin, and then Moshi was there, their rival. So again, my job was to find partners for that.
What was the most fun deal you did there?
Oh, Pez dispensers.
Yeah.
Or the McDonald's Happy Meal in North America.
Massive.
33 million Happy Meals
Massive.
In 3 weeks.
Massive.
Yeah, it's huge. For that brand, Gary, that was the time we had Index and Excel, who are two big VCs.
Yeah, of course, I know them both.
So I would join the board meetings, and they didn't really care. They were like, oh, God, this is a toy guy.
Right. Because they were more into the tech shit and this
exactly
and that. I get
right.
it. Yep.
But suddenly, we had a guy called Bill Rohde join the board. So he set up MTV outside of North America.
More of a consumer guy.
Correct.
Got it.
And when I said we've done this...
he lost his fucking mind.
He did, yeah. And he said to everyone, do you know how much that's worth?
Right.
In marketing.
And just awareness. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I stayed there right through the growth of that company from 9 of us to 220.
Did that have an exit? Or did it missed its window?
Disney came in.
And they said no, and they missed it. So this is why this is a fun podcast. I'm in a funny mood. I think it's the Jets thing, or I've been fresh from like the summer. So I feel like I have a different energy. This is a good one, kids, to listen at home. A lot of you, I've seen it too many times. This must hurt you because you came in early enough. You probably lost
that.
Yeah, did you know the offer that Disney made?
Yeah, I was in the room.
Good.
Yeah.
So just for everybody at home so they can learn, because a lot of you are at a startup right now, and you're the 7th employee, the 19th employee, you're going through the journey. Economy's a little rough right now, so you're trying to figure out your decisions, but we're gonna make this real life. This is real life. I want everybody to really understand what we're about to say because Darren's going to give it to us without oversharing, but he's going to give me the math, I feel, because it's too far removed and he'll be fine. Darren, you came in early.
Yeah.
Means you had a lot of shares.
Yeah.
You were in the room, so it's not hearsay. You know exactly what Disney offered. Obviously, the people who had the most equity, the VCs, the founders, decided to pass because they thought they could make it bigger.
Correct.
If they had said yes, you don't even have to say what the Disney offer was, but if they had said yes to that, for you personally, you the human being, how much money would have that been?
Millions of dollars.
How many millions? 3, 7, 23?
7 to 8.
Right.
Yeah.
How old were you?
28.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
28 when you started there, right? If I'm doing the math of your career,
correct.
And
yeah,
this
yeah.
offer came in.
So I've been like 32, 33.
And you see how much I'm paying attention? So at 30, I mean, that is, was that hard for you to get over knowing somebody else? I've always wondered about the 7th to 30th employee in companies that were in the rooms. It'd be one thing if you were the 50th employee, you weren't in the room, you're not even sure of the hearsay, but like, do you feel like you took a couple of beats of pause when you would sleep at night of like, man, this sucks, I wish they said yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
I mean, but do you know what? I mean, I'm bloody right.
Yeah, you're an optimistic, happy guy.
For a reason.
Yeah, but that one hurt, right?
Yeah, it hurt for a good 12 months after. It burnt me. Yeah, completely burnt.
Because what happens on the other side is when you say no, and then it's still dragging, and they lose a little momentum, and you know you've lost your window,
yeah.
Then you decided to get another job.
I decided to get another job.
That's right. It's fucking tough. You go from that, where you probably at that point, knowing that you're an entrepreneur, you must have been thinking, I'm going to get this bag. I'm going to get a couple things settled, like a house or whatever.
And
then you were like, I'm going to start my own company, probably.
I was traveling. So Laura, my wife and I, we just had our first kid. And I was traveling 22 days of the month, if not more.
Right. You were exhausted on top of everything else.
Happen.
Right.
We'd done a movie deal with Universal Studios. We'd done a record deal with Sony.
You thought this was the one?
Yeah, I thought this was it. This is a home run.
Fuck. Okay. But, so then it kind of, that stock goes to zero.
Correct.
Right, you had your salary, but all that 7 and 8's off the table.
Yeah.
You're now creeping into your mid-30s.
Yeah.
But you decide to take what job?
I take a corporate job.
Of course you did. By the way, I want everybody to listen. You know how I always make those, Andy, you know this with my content. I used to say this all the time. You're all fucking around and you're gonna be working at a bank in a couple years because that's what happens. When you get burned like that and you have responsibilities, what are you gonna do? You're gonna overcorrect in the other direction and you're gonna wanna get paid more.
Correct.
So you instead of the whole, I'm gonna get paid 200 or 150 or 80,000 or 70,000, but I got stock, you get burned, you're like, fuck that shit. I'm gonna go get paid 400,000, 300,000,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's exactly, I'm sure, what you did.
Yep.
That's right.
So I joined.
Everyone does.
I joined NBC Universal to head up Europe.
So let's keep talking about this. I apologize because I'm making this selfish for my audience.
I love it.
That must have sucked because you went from a massive job that you had where you had a lot of say, all the say, and it was creative.
Yeah.
To a corporation that's with all this, no disrespect to NBC, they're all the same, soulless, political.
I had a boss.
Right.
I suddenly had a boss again.
Who probably wasn't as good at, not to razz on the boss, but like,
I'll give you, do you know what, it's fine because
Andy knows what it's like to have a boss not as good as them.
I'll give you a great example. The boss I had, I was sat opposite him one day and I said to him, what's your dream? Like, what's your ambition in life? I was like, oh, it's interested. And he just shrugged and he went, oh, this is it. I've reached.
I got here.
And I went home and I'm like, I can't work there. I can't be, that's not inspiring. I
can't be around people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. But they had some great people there as well.
I'm sure. And what did you learn there?
I learned there, so I quickly weaseled my way into the M&A team to learn.
Let's talk about weaseling.
Sorry.
But I'll tell you why. I don't know if you know this, VFriends Weasel is the witty weasel. And I'll tell you why. Andy, you don't even know this. This is a VFriends exclusive. So I think, and this you definitely know, Andy, and Dustin, you know this too, and even you, Darren, are figuring it out. I like to play dumb. People don't realize that because they see the confidence in the content, but I don't think people understand how thoughtful and how like very specific everything I do is. I think they think it's pretty random. Even, and you saw the speed in which I was creating the characters, that was my life's work. I had always used the word weaseled in as a positive.
Yeah.
You know, people use it, it sounds bad. Like I weaseled in, and I know that it was, the world meant it to be bad. I always thought that there was a good version of it, which was like the same way I always say God forbid, but I mean it God willing. I always thought weaseling was actually very much chess and cleverness. And if you were like a positive weasel, like it means you weren't a weasel. You were just, I always took negatives and tried to make them positive.
Yeah.
And you're a weasel, it's like slick and you're trying to trick people. But notice how you use it. You use it in a self-deprecating way. Right? I find you to be very, I mean, everything you're telling, I don't know a lot of these backstories, but yeah. Like, you know, I find you to be very charming and very likable.
Thank you.
And so even in the way you communicated as a human being, you said, I weaseled my way into M&A. That's you being self-deprecating because you're humble. I actually think what you, even if you think about going from accounting to the team that you went to, I think you're being strategic and thoughtful. And so anyway, the weasel. Oh, by the way, Andy, what's the rat's name? Reliable, huh? Funny. Seems to be very opposite of the way people think about a rat. A rat is the least reliable. They're the one who fucked you. But the reliable rat and the witty weasel, like, I am so pumped we're documenting all this. I would watch all 5,000 hours, if I had the time, of Jim Henson and Walt Disney crafting their journey of 50 years. I already know what this is all gonna be. So like, this is like fun. Like this is the first, literally Andy does not know. Reliable a little bit, because I think I've referenced it in some meetings, right Andy? You had a little more sense that I was playing with that, right? But you definitely didn't know shit about the witty weasel. The witty weasel is, weaseling is actually witty. It can be much more positive. That's what I want to do with BeFriends. I want to take things that are negative and make them positive. The fucking logo of the entire project is a black cat. The hints were always there, Darren.
Amazing.
I think so. I don't even like, you know, I'm like pumped right now because I like love like you three, like even hearing this, forget about everybody who's listening, but I don't want to give it up so easy either. I'm like, ah, damn it, now they know about Witty Weasel. But like, I really thought about this shit and it was funny. My most inner circle was watching me. We went hardcore. I was just drawing. It would seem like very frivolous, but it was I've been thinking about it forever.
But your level of generosity, and with me as well, you've opened your book and your team, and listen, I'm hugely grateful for that. But I think in those corporate jobs, what I learned is it's very hard to do that.
I'm just pushing my next call because I want to hang more. Go ahead.
It was very hard to sort of break down those walls because it's almost like the military. You're in your pay grade and you're in your rank and that's where you had to stay. So I'll give you a working example. I was at a town hall, phenomenal guy that ran international for NBC. And during his speech, he said they had 51,000 employees and they reckon about 1,200 of them were digitally native. And I just come off the back of Mind Candy, living in that world.
Yeah.
So I just emailed him, just cold emailed and said, look, I was in the town hall, I'd love to have a coffee.
Love.
Now I worked out I was 17 runs behind the ladder for this guy. But he met me and we had a coffee, we hit it off. He put me on his exec research team or something. But
he found a way to get you in because he sensed.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but again, my learning from that is I do that with any of my team. Same. As well. They've got to be part of that journey. And
it's awesome.
Let them be part, yeah.
So then what?
So I lasted 7 months at Universal.
It was quick. And? Makes sense. I didn't even know that. And notice how I set that up, and? Yep. You better not take a corporate job. Go ahead, and?
And then went back to entrepreneurial. I met a great guy who made, his company was called Thinkway Toys. And if you turn over any Buzz Lightyear from the original Toy Story movie, it'll say Thinkway Toys.
They got the license first?
They got the license. Amazing guy.
And then they resold it?
No, so I basically ran his global distribution.
Did Playmates get involved with?
So other toy companies throughout that franchise.
Playmates was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the US.
They still are.
Still are,
yeah.
Darren, tell everybody while we're on the record how much I know about this shit. Like, like all this like random stuff from like the 70s, 80s, 90s IP and toy stuff. Like, no, let them know that this is not a joke.
No, Gary's knowledge in this space is ridiculous. And it's, I mean, just looking at the toys behind you now, and your passion for it.
I love documentaries. When the toys that we played, like that series, that was, I want to go home right now and watch them again.
But you're one of the few people that I can text or WhatsApp and reference something from the Raccoons, and you'll get it. because it'll still be in the memory bank. You'll remember the shit.
Well, that's the other part. You need to remember the shit, because I'm into it. This goes back to, like, I don't know if anyone's paying attention. We're having a little fun. We're talking a little V friends. I want you all to know Darren. Anybody who's in licensing toys, you should absolutely reach out to him, Google him. We'll do all that in the body. But what I'm really trying to get people to understand, because that's a much broader audience that's listening right now, is how unbelievably real it is to actually do something you like versus actually doing something you don't like. It's the difference of being, like, how Darren and I wake up. Like, I woke up this morning devastated about the Jets loss. Like, sir, I'm still really, really actually very, very upset. But, like, pumped because my first 2 hours were with Andy, and I knew we were going to have operational, like, just hardcore operational meetings.
Yeah.
But, like, pumped. And, like, I just know that on September 12th, happy birthday, Justin Avello. On September 12th, from 1982 to 1998, which is a very long time, I woke up every September 12th Monday morning devastated, because it was the beginning of a very long 7-8 months of school, something I hated.
Okay.
And now I watch people do that every day for the rest of their lives, from 22 to 70, 50 years of hating it. I only had to endure it for 16 years as a child, which meant that I didn't do it all day. I did it for half a day. People are doing things they hate for the rest of their lives. It's unacceptable. And when you DM me and email me with your stories, you don't get it, Gary, this, my sibling, this, my parents died, my husband died, my wife died. Like, there's real, like, when people hit me up with some bullshit, like, you don't get it, my rent's expensive, I'm like, you don't fucking get it. Sometimes people come with real stuff. They're like, you don't get it. Both my parents died, I'm 19, both my parents died in a car accident last year. I'm taking care of my 7 to 5 and 5 year old sibling. Gets real hard for me to be like, you have to follow your passion. That I understand.
Yeah.
Comma, I still tell that person, this is one of the worst situations on the 8 billion people that live on earth that one can have from a traumatic experience. And I still tell that person with deep, deep empathy and compassion and kind and care of, like, hey, cool, for now.
Yeah.
Always bet on optimism. For now you have to do that. That's right, guess what? For now I ate shit also for 20 years, yeah. For now.
You know, Gary, we've never spoken, I didn't know your school, and I'm not gonna play this to my kids. I don't know if you call it over here in the US, but I was excluded from two schools when I was younger.
Does that mean expelled?
Yeah.
Like, kicked expelled. Out?
Yeah.
Because you were shit at school, or you did pranks and were a bad boy?
I was just easily distracted.
Well, cool. If it was that, I would have been expelled from every...
Yeah.
Darren, I haven't done homework since fifth grade. I didn't do homework once for the last 7 years of my academic normal career, and never studied once for a test, never opened a book in high school. They just push you through the system. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's true.
You're lucky you got expelled. I'm proud of the UK schools during that era. My American schools could give two shits. I did nothing. They just didn't want somebody staying back for their record. Not they cared about my life.
Yeah.
They give a fuck. Anyway, not to get too much on a tangent, talk to us about Toy Keto before we get out of here.
Yeah,
there was
thank
probably
you.
Some steps that we missed, but
no
tell
worries.
Us what Toy Keto is, and kind of the journey you're on and some of the stuff you're thinking about.
Yeah, thank you. So we started Toy Keto in September 20, and really to bring brands to life, whether it's our own brands that we're developing. We're developing a few on different platforms.
You were taking everything we were just listening to and starting your own company.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
What was the thing you did right before it? Because I think we do need the context to keep going. Right before you made that jump, I mean, you're talking about September 2020, COVID, Schmovid, like...
I was living... The guy that I was working with from Thinkway Toys was a phenomenal human being, like entrepreneur, privately owned business, and he decided to start to wrap it up. So,
and did he sell it?
Nah, he's not that
Shut
sort
it
of,
down.
He's not that sort of guy.
Pass it on to someone?
No.
Shut it down.
It's just wind it up.
I had a great run.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't want to sell it because I don't want somebody to control my legacy.
Correct.
And relationships.
I guess so.
And I don't have any heir apparent, children or whoever.
I guess so, yeah.
And did he want you to buy it?
He wanted me to do something.
For yourself?
For myself.
Good for him. What a guy.
I know, he's the best. Yeah.
Can I meet him?
Yeah, I'd love
Please.
To meet him.
Please, I'd love to have dinner. That he, just made my heart smile.
He's why...
That's a very high integrity man.
It's why our youngest kid is called Albert.
Wow.
We named our youngest after him. He's an amazing guy. Unbelievable.
So. Andy, I want you to name your child Gary. Boy or girl.
I was thinking of a V friend I would name him.
I'll give you one. Gary B. Gary B. Crank. Go ahead.
It rolls off the tongue.
Even doesn't like that one. All right.
Torquitos, I mean, it was almost born out of necessity, but it was the right time.
Wow,
I've
good for you.
I got 20 years of...
No, you're the right... I mean...
Of building other people's brands of...
There's very few investments I've made in my career that I felt more excited about.
You know what, mate? That was... Such a wild week. Do you remember? I was down in...
Yeah, break it all down for him. Remind me, please.
Well, I was down in Cornwall with a lousy reception.
Yes.
And Gary and I were chatting about the project that...
How did we get connected, Darren? Remind me, I'm blanking.
We were connected by...
you know Andy?
I do.
Yeah. It was actually Liam Payne.
Holy shit, that's right.
Liam hit up AJ. AJ forwarded a message to me from Darren. Darren was talking about Halloween costumes. This was like 3 weeks after we sold out. This is like June 2021. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I got a couple of things to do before I can talk about a Halloween costume with refriends. But Darren followed up like two or three more times. I got on a call with him.
Awesome. By the way, gonna keep jumping
like,
in here
yeah,
to make this
two or three
interesting.
Times he followed me like,
hey. Remember everybody who's listening, I always tell you like, cool, but like, you know, like the audacity that you, Darren had this crazy career. Think about what he's accomplished. And he had the humility to reach out a second, third, fourth time. Clearly, oh, by the way, because me and Andy get pounded. Everybody in my team, Dustin, we all get hit up because everyone's trying to get to me, which I'm humbled by. But some people have the tack to do it, and others don't. Clearly, because I know Andy gets a lot of it, not only did you reach out two or three times, it clearly, Andy, must have been done in a manner that was delicious versus disgusting.
Correct, and then we took a 15-minute phone call, introductory, charming gentleman. And
yep.
Of course, the background display of his office was very similar to yours.
Yeah.
I like this guy.
That's true.
And then you said I should meet.
Yeah.
And then we met, and I knew right away, right? I remember that. I remember, you know, it's back to the Mayan. I remember what I felt. I don't remember the meeting, but I remember thinking there's something here.
I used as much of my Irish mother's charm as humanly possible in that first meeting.
I love it. Yeah, that must have been a big deal, right? That investment mattered.
Yeah, because it came. I mean, we were only a year old. Yeah. So I remember you saying to me, you're only a year old. And you were right, and it was a humbling experience to chat to you and get so much time as well. Like we were, I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
I was behind a bush because I couldn't get Wi-Fi reception, and I came off thinking, shit, this guy's going to be like, who is this clown? He's calling me from behind a bush. But you stuck with it, and we went for it.
Mainly because I actually left thinking, that's exactly who I want to work with. I'm not interested in a suit and tie. If you're... like hanging out of a bush doing a meeting with me, then I'm already dramatically more interested. That's what's fun to be living on the other side of the matrix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just believe in different things. Like, I don't believe in... I actually said something today in a meeting. The quality is not the production value. It's the message.
And you know, we want to... Like at Torquito, we love working with founders of businesses, getting as close to them. So when I started the business, there were two of us, myself and Jeff, who joined me. He's an ex-partner in another sort of business we worked in together. Our first deal we got was with the Among Us team.
Yes, so Monster. For all the parents listening, you all remember that video game exploded.
500 million plus downloads.
Yeah.
I later learned that when Torquito pitched, we were up against Jax.
Big companies. I remember when they got the wrestling IP.
Yeah.
That was their big breakthrough, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So there's me and Jeff. Yeah. Versus Monsters.
Yeah.
And you know what? At the end of my pitch to them, I showed them a comic strip that my 11-year-old son Freddie had done of the Among Us characters. And I held it up and I said, listen, if I get the deal, we'd love to work with you, but regardless, can I just show you this? Because it'll blow his mind in the morning when I tell him.
That's that level of humanity. Look, I think people do business with people.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I'm running out of time here and I have to run. We may need to do a part two, Andy, because I'm really enjoying this. I want to get a little bit deeper, but a couple things. People do business with people, and I'm sure you can't be a human being with a pulse and not hear why this gentleman is super interesting, was for me, and why VFriends works with Torquito so feverishly, and we have all sorts of monster stuff coming up. And you know what, Andy? That's how we're going to time it. We're going to do a part two, because I feel like we have unsettled work here on the podcast done, and we'll use that to kind of maybe launch some more information about what we're doing, because it's all about to hit ahead here pretty quickly. How long are you in town? Leave tonight?
Yeah.
That's right. We can do this across the pond virtually. Dan Graham, real pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for
Cheers.
Everything.
Love you.
Cheers, man.
See you.
And you.